Well, it is 10 o'clock here on this Friday morning. My name is Ralph Yankee Arnold. And I don't know who you are, but I'm glad you're here. Because if you weren't here, you'd be there. And everybody knows you're not all there. So we're going to talk about an interesting subject. And the title is called In Defense of the Glorious Everlasting Gospel Message. I've lived long enough and traveled enough, been in a lot of churches, and I hear everything. Especially if you do anything on YouTube, radio, there's a lot of people saying things that God didn't say. And the Bible says, don't you say God said unless God said. But there are some people who say, God said something, and God says, I didn't say that. So we're going to look at what God said. Because some people who can't believe what God said to be true, they're going to tell you what they think he really meant, as though God can't be clear enough. So if you want to follow along and read on the screen, I think it'll help you to know where I'm coming from. Because I have a lot of people trying to figure out, if you had to boil it all down, what is the real contents of the gospel? We said we need to go in the world and preach the gospel. What is the gospel? Just what is it? Is it, when a guy says, what's the gospel? He said, the book of Daniel, prophecy. Somebody says, just anything in the Bible, because it's truth. And any good stories, because that's good tidings. Well, the gospel, when you boil it down, he says, go nowhere and preach the gospel. There's got to be, what is that message we're supposed to preach? And on top of that, shouldn't all the preachers, missionaries, evangelists have the same gospel? Shouldn't we be preaching the same thing? If the world is lost and they need to be saved, shouldn't we have the same message that talks to the lost man about how to go to heaven? And there should be no difference. Because whatever it is, should be it. And remember this, the gospel is not a single line statement. You could say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now that's all we have to do, but that's not all we need to know. We have to know what he did, Christ, what he said. Otherwise, you don't know what to believe. And there's no security. So the gospel is a story that we tell. Remember that song, we love to tell the story. There's a story. And if you learn how to tell the story, you got something that can hold people's attention and you got something to say. And you learn a story, you tell the story in sequence because you start and you finish. So what's the content? So that content of the gospel is very important. So what are the simple basic principles a lost man needs to understand to be saved in every dispensation? Now, I am a dispensationalist. It means that I believe that God, in different periods of time, worked with man concerning certain responsibilities and different results. But the gospel from the first man to the last man always stays the same. It can't change. The plan of salvation is God's plan on how to save a man. And he can't save a man one way in one dispensation and another man a different way in a different dispensation. Because when we get to heaven, God is supposed to get all the honor, the glory, and the credit for whatever saved a man. And if a man says, well, I just thankful that I was under the law because I kept the law and I earned it. I helped. No, you didn't help. You don't get any credit. So salvation must be by grace in every dispensation in order for God to get the glory for saving a man, regardless of when it was. So here's the cross. Old Testament looked forward to the cross. We look back to the cross. But everybody is saved by looking to the cross. So what are the contents in that gospel message? I'm glad you asked. So my position is from a dispensational point of view. I believe that salvation has always been by grace through faith in every period of time. And a dispensation is a period of time in which God deals with man regarding a certain responsibility and the consequences. But although dispensational truths are progressive in nature, because in every dispensation, we learn a little bit more. So our knowledge in the Bible grows. So we know more on this side of the cross than what they knew on the other side of the cross. But that doesn't mean that they didn't understand the gospel, though. It's that we can understand it even better. So I don't believe it changed at all. Now, whereas the basic minimum tenets of the gospel message doesn't change, progressive revelation reveals a greater understanding on each vital point. We have a greater understanding of the glorious gospel of Christ on this side of the cross than before the cross. I am not an Arminian. So what's that? A person who believes they can lose their salvation. I don't believe that. And I'm not a Calvinist. I don't believe that you have eternal life as long as you live it and prove it until the day you die because you persevere to the end. I don't believe that has anything to do with salvation. So I'm not an Arminian. I'm not a Calvinist. You say, well, what are you? I'm a Biblicist. I believe the Bible. And I want to show you that today. When I say I'm not an Arminian or a Calvinist, I believe that, and I'm talking about the contents of the gospel. Whenever I give the gospel, let's say, for example, you are all lost here today, and I'm going to give you the gospel. I would usually use a simple illustration, and I'll just show you, because you've probably never seen it before in your whole life. This hand represents you and me. Well, it represents sin. We all have sin on us. God loves us, but he hates our sin. And because we've all sinned, we're all condemned to a literal fire burning hell. But God loves us, wants us to go to heaven. And go to heaven, you have to be perfect, but nobody's perfect. Heaven's perfect. God's perfect. We're not. Because of sin, we can't get in. And God says you cannot earn eternal life. You can't work your way to heaven. So Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, came into the world because he loves us, hates our sin, because our sin separates us. Christ, who had no sin, didn't have to die. So he took all the sin of all the world, paid for it on the cross, came back from the dead, and said if we would believe that he did it for us, he'd put that payment to our account. We get to go to heaven on what he did. So you can know that you have eternal life by simply faith in what Christ did, not what we do. Now, I just told you a story, a brief little story, but there were 7 points in my story. This is you and me. We've all sinned. All have sinned, number one. Wage of sin is death, number two. Everybody's going to die and be separated from God for eternity. Number three, you have to be perfect to go to heaven, but nobody's perfect. And God says you can't save yourself. You can't earn eternal life. So number four, you can't work your way to heaven. Ephesians 2:8-9 says so. Not of works. Number five, Christ died. And when he died, he paid for our sins, came back from the dead, and all he wanted us to do about what he did was believe he did it for us. So when you believe he did it for you, he puts this payment to your account. And now the reason that I can't go to hell is because I don't have any sins to pay for. Why? Somebody paid for my sins. I have no sins to pay for. So if I have no sins to pay for, I'm good to go. So you can't know you're going there till you know you can't go there. And I can't go there because I don't have any sins to pay for. Christ died for my sins. And he says, when I believe it, you can know you have eternal life. So number five, Christ died. Number six, only believe. But number seven, you can know you're going to heaven. Now, I just told a story in the gospel. Now, if I take that story and I go talk to the lost people, I can have more people trust Christ as their Savior because they understand the story. Don't just tell people, just trust Christ as your Savior. Most people say that, but they don't understand what it means. Save from what? How long? What if I do something wrong? It doesn't answer any questions. This presentation does. It talks to you about heaven, talks to you about hell, talks to you about sin, talks about how that you got to be perfect to go to heaven. All these things and only believe, all of it's made simple and it's clear. And it's a story that we can tell. That's the content of the gospel. Now, if you simply say, only believe, No, that's the icing on the cake. That's what you have when you understand the story. But if you don't believe the story, you don't get that salvation by faith alone, in Christ alone. So that's why that is so important to do. Now, here's what I seek to prove. That all men have been saved the same way by grace through faith. All men have to believe the same thing, the seven basic principles that I just mentioned. All men had to accept a payment that was made for their sins, which is Christ. That all men believe in the death and the resurrection of Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. That there's a better way to present the gospel. There is a good way to present the gospel that can help you to be a great soul winner. Now, I've been winning people to Christ for over 60-something years. I've been married to that little lady back there for 65 years a couple of weeks ago. So I'm getting to be an old man. So she got me for $5 and overpaid. Overpaid. But anyway, that was long. We ran away and got married, by the way. And got married by the justice of the peace. I found out later it was the Secretary of War. But anyway, when it comes to salvation of mankind, there's only one gospel in the scripture which saves. Now, you can talk about the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of this and gospel of that, and all the word gospel, gospel, gospel. Come to salvation, there's only one gospel that saves a man. There's only one that's ever been. It's the same one that's in the future. There's even an angel in the tribulation period going to preach the everlasting gospel. Well, it's got to be an everlasting gospel. It has to be the only one there ever was. It means if it's everlasting, it lasts forever. But anyway, as we're moving right along, people were not saved one way in the Old Testament and a different way in the New Testament, because there's people today that believe in hyperdispensationalism, believe that different dispensations meant different ways of salvation. No, that is not true. But unless you understand the Bible, it's so easy to fall into all these different little categories that people have. And I want you to see what he says in the book of Galatians, chapter 1. Now, this is a very important part. In chapter 1, in verse 6, he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you to the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some who will trouble you or pervert the gospel of Christ and try to change the message. He said, but though we are an angel from heaven preaching to you all the gospel, you let him be accursed. Look what he says. He says, another one here, the heteros, means that there's not another gospel of a different kind. And then the word allos is not another gospel of the same kind. You see, I got on a pair of shoes. They're the same kind. But the right one is different from the left one. And then I got a pair of shoes at home called my golf shoes. They are another pair. He says the gospel is not another one of a different kind, and there's not another one of the same kind. Only one gospel that saves. And if anybody preaches any other gospel, let him be accursed, because there's only one gospel, one salvation. So some people say, well, the Apostle Paul, well, see, he preached a different message. And his gospel was 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where it talks about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But they didn't have to believe that in the Old Testament. And they won't have to believe that in the, you know, tribulation period or the millennium. They don't have chapter and verse for that. That's because of their thinking, but not because of the Bible. The Bible didn't say that stuff. The Bible says there's only one gospel. Now, let me just mention this to you real quick. Where did Paul get his gospel? Jesus. Because he says the gospel that he preached, he says, was from Jesus Christ himself. He says, so Paul's gospel was not different from the gospel Christ preached because he got it straight from Christ. He says, Christ preached the gospel to him, told him what to say. Paul did not go to Jerusalem and find out, what do you boys think about it? What is the gospel? No, he got it straight from the Lord. And then a little bit later, he tells us that God the Father preached the gospel to Abraham in the Old Testament. So here's Jesus, the Son, telling Paul what to preach. And in the Old Testament, you have God the Father preaching the gospel to Abraham on what he was supposed to believe, because he said he preached the gospel to him. Do you think God the Father and God the Son had a different gospel? Told them a different way to get to heaven? No. But there's people who will teach that. They're wrong. So anyway, he says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. Man didn't design it. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then he says this in Romans. Get where Paul said that the gospel that he preached was just like the ones that was prophesied in the Old Testament. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised God afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Holy Scriptures is a reference to the Old Testament. And those prophets are to the Old Testament prophets. And then he tells us what he's referring to. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. So Paul's gospel was the same as the prophets of old. Because the gospel has to be the same message. Man is only saved by grace. So how could you add works to the gospel? And if you did, then salvation cannot be by grace. And then everybody wouldn't be getting to heaven the same way. Some people would get to heaven if it wasn't by grace. They had to get to heaven because they earned the right to be. Can you see you sitting down in heaven? I was saved by grace. Well, I earned it. I deserve to be here. You don't deserve to be here. I kept the law. That's not going to happen. You can't give honor and glory to God for salvation if you earned it. In other words, God would be in debt to you. He owed it to you. Now, in Acts chapter 13, he said, and we declare unto you glad tidings. Good tidings. Now get it, that the promise which was made unto the fathers. So evidently there was a promise made in the Old Testament, and it was going to be fulfilled, which was made unto the fathers as God had fulfilled the same unto us, their children. So what he promised them, promised us. Same. In that he had raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm. Who wrote the second psalm? We think David wrote a lot of those psalms. David also wrote the 22nd Psalm, where there's somebody saying words like, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I wonder who said that. But David wrote that, and it's about Jesus on the cross, and that he had people gambling for his clothes, being pierced in his hands and his feet. But he says, it was written in the Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten. This statement is a reference to the resurrection. So did they have any scriptures in the Old Testament that talks about the Messiah, about Christ? When he refers to Christ, he's talking about as a payment for sin. Jesus is the name of God, Jehovah. But God was going to take on flesh and be the payment for the sins of the world. So the gospel is the same. Now, get what he says. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, the one referenced in the Old Testament, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Now, get this straight. If God was to forgive you of all of your sins, that means that there would be no sins to condemn you. That's why eternal forgiveness of all sin is eternal security. Eternal security is because you have been forgiven of all of your sin. There's no sin to be paid. That's why once you trust Christ as your Savior, He is the payment for all of your sin. Now get this. When Christ died 2,000 years ago, He paid for your sins before you were born. True? And if He paid for your sins before you were born, that means He paid for your sins before you ever committed any of them. That means He paid for your sins in advance of you committing them. Did God know that when He died on that cross, all your sins that you were going to commit? He knew how you were going to live. Whether before you got saved or after you got saved, He knew it all and paid for all of your sins. So when you accept that payment he made for you, you have a payment for how many of your sins? Just up to the time you believe, or a payment for all your sins? Because if he only saved you up to the day you believe, you can be lost the very next sin. That is Arminianism. You can lose your salvation. But I can't lose my salvation because, see, when Christ died for me, paid for all of my sins once and for all. So if I trust Christ as my Savior when I'm 4 years old, I'm good to go. But if I wait and trust the Lord when I'm a teenager, 18, which I was, I'm good to go. But what if I wait until I'm 99 years old? Well, it included all of those too. So it doesn't matter when you trust the Lord. All of them were included. He paid for all of my sins. Christ died for my sins. Most five powerful words in the Bible. And people have heard it all their life and they don't get it. They still think they got to do something. Now, look at the next verse. And by him, Christ, all that do what? So that means people, past, present, future, all are justified, declared righteous, because he pays for your sins. You believe it, you're forgiven. But he can't forgive you if he never paid for them. So he pays for all of your sins. When you believe it, he says, go into all who are and preach the forgiveness of sins. You're forgiven, as though you never committed a sin. So there's no sin to keep you from going to heaven. You say, well, what about all those bad things you're going to do after you're saved? Well, he knew that before he ever saved you. Right. He paid for them in advance. You're covered. It's like getting an insurance policy. You ever get an insurance policy and then something happens? You say, well, I hope that's covered. I hope it covers that. Well, I got news for you. This has full coverage. It's covered. You say, what if I sin tomorrow? Paid. What about right before I die? Paid. What if I commit suicide? That's a sin? Yeah, paid. Why? All sins, all justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So then he says in verse 26, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham. So we're talking to the Jews. Because they say, well, Paul was a preacher to the Gentiles. Peter was a preacher to the Jews. Wait. Paul preached to Jews and Gentiles. Peter, he preached to Jews and Gentiles. In chapter 2, he preached to the Jews. And then in chapter 10, he preached to the Gentiles, Cornelius. Duh. And Peter, Paul, whenever he went to preach, he went to the synagogue. Now, who was in the synagogue? Only Gentiles. I don't think so. There were Jews. So he won Jews and Gentiles, but he had mainly, he went to the Gentiles and Peter went to the, but they had the same gospel. So they try to say, well, their message was different. No, they weren't different. They're different. They're not agreeing with what God says. You only have that one gospel message to preach. So whether I witness to a Jew or Gentile, I got the same gospel. So he said, men and brethren, stock of the children of Abraham, whosoever among you fear of God to you is the word of this salvation sent. So this salvation that he says later, my gospel, it was the same one to the Jews as it is to the Gentiles. There is no different. And some of the people who believe in this hyper-dispensationalism, it's wrong. Don't follow that junk. Just get in the Bible and study the Bible. Now look what he says. Paul says this. And he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone in this dispensation, to the Gentiles. Is that what he said? To the Jew, to the Gentiles, both the same gospel. Now, I didn't write the Bible, but I can read. And I don't have to know all the Hebrew and the Greek. And I don't have to try to figure out how to twist all the words. You can take a 10-year-old kid and say, would you explain that? And they can explain it better than the people who come out of, you know, seminaries. They don't got it. Christ was not here in the flesh to preach a new gospel to the Jews, but to validate the Old Testament salvation message. When Christ came, he preached what they preached. John the Baptist preached what they preached. Paul preached And most of his letters that he has, he's always referring to the Old Testament scriptures. Read them and see if you find any Old Testament scriptures in the writings of Paul. He used them and he explained them, and it's the same message. All that does that they do today is just try to split, and it splits churches. It ruins people. The grace of God is still salvation by faith alone in what Christ did before and after. If they could not be justified by the law now, and they could not be justified by the law then, how were they justified in the Old Testament? If you can't be justified by the law, then how were they saved? Doesn't the Bible say that no man can be justified by the law in the sight of God? Except those in the Old Testament. Well, see, they have to add that because it doesn't say that. So they were not saved by the law. So there's those who were before the law was given, those that lived under the law, and then there's Christ who was under the law, John the Baptist was under the law, and then you have the New Testament. Everybody's saved the same way. See, when God saved Abraham, it was 430 years before the law was even given. So how could Abraham keep the law to be saved when there was none? He was saved by grace. And then along comes somebody like King David. David was under the law. How was he saved? We'll see that. But now look what he says here. In 1 Corinthians 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." So this is at the beginning of the church there to the Gentiles in Corinth, which also you have received and wherein ye stand. So Paul is now going to explain to them what was the content of the message that he preached to them. So he says, and I wrote up there, Paul's gospel included the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as the foundation for their faith. So 1 Corinthians 15, which we call the resurrection chapter, because it's excellent on the book on the resurrection. And this is why a lot of people at Easter time, or Resurrection Sunday, talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, when I went there, which I also received." So the message he's going to tell them is a message he received. How was Paul saved on the road to Damascus? Do you think God gave him a different gospel later to preach to the rest of them? And they say, well, Paul started the church. He persecuted the church that was already started before he got saved. Remember, he persecuted the church. That's why he was on his way to Damascus, on that Damascus road. He says, but the message that I received, how that Christ did what? Died for our sins. So he's referring to when Christ died, he died for our sins. According to what? The scriptures. What scriptures? Old Testament scriptures. Refer to the scriptures, you're referring to that which has already been written. Not what he was writing, but what had already been written. So he says Christ died for our sin according to the scriptures. So is it possible that in the Old Testament, it could talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah? And then he says, and that he was buried, rose again the third day, according to the what? The scriptures. So whenever people say, well, Paul was saved a different way. No, he wasn't. Saved exactly the same way. And the gospel that he preached, when he said, my gospel, it had to be the gospel that he heard. He couldn't be saved a different way. And the gospel that he was now preaching can't be different. Because he said in the book of Galatians in chapter 1, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you to the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that will trouble you and pervert your minds from the simplicity that is in Christ. If people would only read the book and not try to add to what God says. So Paul's gospel was the same as in the Holy Scriptures. Paul is stating that his gospel he is giving is the gospel he received from Christ himself. Paul is declaring that his gospel message not only included the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but is the very foundation for the everlasting gospel. Means it's the same one. Paul's gospel was based upon what was taught already in the Old Testament. His was not some new message. He has an additional enlightenment for the church because the Bible says so. But that doesn't mean Paul started the church. He persecuted the church that had already been started. But he didn't start the church. But there's hyper-dispensationalists that will believe it, or ultra-dispensationalists that will believe it, because they said the church started in mid-Acts. No, it did not. It started on the day of Pentecost. And I can prove that with Scripture, too, and I don't have to twist any words. Just taking it as it says. Now, what did Jesus, or I should say, what Jesus did was pay for your sins by his death on the cross. What he said was, I could be saved by faith and given the free gift of eternal life if I believe what he did, it was for me. So I believe a lost man needs to know at least these two things. Christ died for my sins. So there's a story I got to tell them. Why would he do that? Because I've sinned. I'm condemned. I got to be perfect to go to heaven. I can't save myself. So now I know what he did. Well, what do I do about what he did? Well, he said, if I would believe he did it for me, I will receive eternal life as a gift. So what he said and what he did, do you think that's important? When I give the gospel to people, when I say that, we're all sinners, do you think there's one of the ingredients in this gospel message, I should leave that out? I don't need to tell them that. The wage of sin is death. You're going to go to hell when you die. Why do you need to be saved? Because you're going to hell. You need to be saved from hell. So should I leave that out, that you're lost and you've sinned and you got to pay for it? Should I leave that out of my gospel story? If I do, see, I'm leaving out part of the foundation. They won't know why they need a Savior. They don't know why are they lost? Where are they going when they die? Well, what if they don't hear and understand it? What's going to happen? How do I know that I have to be perfect to go to heaven? I think I'm pretty good. When you say you got to be perfect, are you perfect? Well, no, nobody's perfect. That's done. You're a sinner. Should you leave out the part where Christ died on the cross and paid for our sins? Should we leave that out of the message? No, I think they need to know that, because what are they going to believe? You got to believe on Christ. Believe what? You see, whenever we say we got to believe the gospel, it means to believe Christ paid for my sins. There's a story there. There's a message. Christ died for us so that we could have as a free gift eternal life and go to heaven when we die. So what do I get if I believe this message? You'll get the free gift of eternal life. And that eternal life lasts forever. And you don't have to do anything to get it. You don't have to do anything to keep it. You can never lose it. So you can know that you're going to heaven when you die, because this is the only message of eternal security. If you don't teach eternal security, you do not teach the gospel. Well, I had a man tell me, don't worry about eternal security. Just get them saved. You don't know you got anybody saved until they know they're going to heaven when they die. So if they don't know they're going to heaven when you die, why should you think they're going to heaven? And the only way you can know you're going to heaven is if you know you can't go to hell. Because if there's a possibility you can go to hell in the future, then you can't say, I know I'm going to heaven. I want people to know you can go to heaven when you die. And nothing between now and the time that you die could change it. Because trusting Christ as your Savior, it's irrevocable. Irrevocable. When he says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth shall not perish. It means you can't go to hell, but have everlasting life, go to heaven. Two irrevocable positions right there in that one verse. And people say, well, I just love John 3:16. You don't even understand John 3:16. I asked a couple one time, I says, this man, I says, are you married? He says, yes, I am. I says, do you have a wife? He said, well, I don't know. Do you believe? Yes, I do. Do you have eternal life? Well, I don't know. He said, he that believeth hath everlasting life. So if you believe it, you have everlasting life. I says, do you believe it? Yeah, I believe it. Do you have everlasting life? Well, I don't know. I said, it's because you don't believe in that. He said, I believe it. I said, if you believe it, you got it. I said, how do you know when you really got it? Because you believe it. But if you don't believe it, you don't have it. But if you do believe it, you got it. Got it? Some people just can't get it. So all that he promised was based upon what he did. Christ died for my sins is also a sufficient statement for the gospel if it is truly understood by the lost man what it meant. But a lot of times lost people don't know what that means. You have all kind of religions that will teach Christ died for sins. And you'll have a lot of them say you're saved by grace through faith alone. That doesn't tell you anything. They don't know what that means. Can you still go to hell in the future? Oh, yeah. Then you don't understand what the gospel is. You don't have no good news. Because if you don't know where you're going when you die, you don't have any good news. Anybody can be religious. Who cares if you can know you're going to heaven as long as you live, but then when you die, that's over, folks. I want to know where I'm going whenever I die and whatever case I'm in when I die or whatever sin I may be committing. You're saying, you mean you can trust Christ as your Savior and live like the devil and still go to heaven? Of course I say that. Why? It's the truth. Everybody lives as they please, don't you? You do what you do all the time. Can you go out and commit adultery? Yes, you can. Then why don't you? Can you commit murder? Saved or lost, it doesn't matter. See, you can go commit murder. People are doing it every day. Can you drink, smoke, dip, chew, go to girls who do? People do. But is it paid? Well, you don't deserve it. What is grace? See, they don't really believe it's by grace. I told a man one day, he said, you mean to tell me? I said, yeah, I'm telling you that. He said, you can't tell me. I said, maybe I can't, but maybe God can't either because you won't listen to it. I said, if a man was to trust Christ as Savior and go out here and live like the devil and died and go to heaven, I said, it'd be grace, wouldn't it? Well, people just can't believe that God meant what he said. But the good news is you're saved once and for all. Once saved, always saved. Don't be ashamed of that, and don't be ashamed of eternal security. That's the good news. That's why you can preach anything that you want to, trust in Christ to save all the rest. You can teach everybody. But if they understand that you're talking about eternal security and once saved, always saved, that's a different story. Because that means you really believe you're saved by grace. If you don't believe that, you don't believe in salvation by grace. Can't believe it. Anyway, we're moving right along. What was the gospel of Abraham? Give what he says. Even as Abraham believed God, counted to him for righteousness. Did Abraham believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Well, look what he says in Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And that he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Seed is the word reference to Christ. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. Abraham knew about the death, burial, and resurrection of the seed, the Messiah. And I didn't make that up. The Bible tells us in the New Testament what Abraham believed in the Old Testament. And just because some things were not recorded back there doesn't mean they didn't know it and didn't believe it. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would get this, this is an awesome verse in Galatians in chapter 3. And the scripture, Old Testament, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through what? Through faith. Preached before the gospel unto who? Did God preach the gospel to Abraham? And these shall all families be blessed. We understand that talking as salvation. That's been justified by faith. And that was written 430 years before the law was ever given. So the law did not annul the promise of God. Why tell Abraham if salvation by grace was not to be the message until after Christ's death? What value did it have ahead of time? They were saved by the law? No. The blessing of Abraham was to be justified by faith. And he says the heathen, referring to the Old Testament Gentiles and the New Testament Gentile, were the heathen. Then anyway, the main purpose of these scriptures is to prove that Paul's gospel was the same as the gospel preached to Abraham. God preached grace in the Old Testament to Abraham, and Christ preached grace to Paul in the New Testament. And I submit it's the same gospel. Is the law then, that was 430 years later, against the promises of God? God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, then righteousness should have been by the law. God never gave the law to save anybody. The law was given to show us we can't save ourselves by our works. We need a Savior. Why do you think they had all the sacrifices in the Old Testament? All the sacrifices in the Old Testament taught the death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah. An innocent animal was taken and slit his throat, drained his blood, and the innocent died because of somebody sinning. And then he uses an illustration, and I'll show that in just a minute. But the scripture says that Christ has concluded all in the sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that, what? That believe. That's Old Testament. If there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles, why wouldn't both be saved the same way? Remember in John, the book of Romans, spent three chapters telling how the Jews and Gentiles are both the same, regardless of the advantages of what everyone had. Concluded, they're all under sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, though the perfection of God. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, it's unto all, but it's only upon them that believe. So God's words is contrary to Calvinism. His salvation, his righteousness is unto everybody, but it's only upon them that believe. Because there's no difference. Everybody's the same, and the gospel is the same. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, that means a satisfaction, a payment, through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. That's Old Testament before the cross. So in the next verse, he says, to declare, I say, at this time, after the cross, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. So before the cross, after the cross, everybody saved the same way. God gave Abraham the righteousness, and we declare his righteousness on this side. You know how I'm going to heaven? Because God gave me his righteousness. Just like God gave his righteousness to Abraham in the Old Testament before the law was ever given. In chapter 4, he says, for the promise that he's going to justify everybody by faith, that he should be the heir of the world through justification by faith, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. In other words, salvation by faith alone is not going to be by the law, but through the righteousness of what? Faith. The next verse says, for if they which are of the law, those who are seeking to be saved by their works, be heirs, faith is made void. The promise made of none effect. In other words, you can't have salvation if you try to get saved by your works. So nobody's been saved by works ever, nor will they ever be saved by faith of works in the future. Man's always been saved the same way, by faith alone. Therefore, he says, and I love this verse, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure. Eternal security. The only way you can know that you're going to heaven, it would have to be a gift. It'd have to be free. It'd have to be by grace alone. It cannot include your works. Can't depend on how you live. So whenever you read Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. For by grace are you saved. That means it's not according to how you live. Through faith means it's not according to how you live. It is the gift of God. It's the gift of God. It's not according to how you live. Not of works would mean it's not according to how you live. Doesn't it say that? When you read John 3:16, well, what's the meaning of grace? Well, look at it. For God so loved the world. That's grace. He gave his only begotten son. What did he give his son to do? There's your death, burial, and resurrection right there in John 3:16. Gave him to be the payment, the sins of the world. As John the Baptist, when he saw him, said, the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. And therefore, he says, it's not according to how you live. To whosoever, that's the only thing you have to do, believe it. Not according to how you live. Shall not perish, that's grace. go to heaven. Well, that's grace. See, the Bible tells you what it means. And it's very clear and very simple. David in the Old Testament, concerning him, he said, I saw the Lord. The 16th Psalm, he says this, but this is a quote from that 16th Psalm. It's in Acts chapter 2. He said, I saw the Lord. In verse 2, here he says, therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Talking about the resurrection of Christ coming back from the dead. Thou hast made known to me, quote, in the Old Testament, David saying, you have made known to me the ways of life. In other words, how to have eternal life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Did David in the Old Testament know about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah? Yes, he did. Now, just because there's not maybe a million verses like you find in the New Testament, it's still there. And it says that's what they had to believe. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loin, according to the flesh, by the prophets, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. That is prophetic. He, seeing this before, spake of the what? Resurrection of Christ. This is an Acts telling us what they knew, what they understood. What you're seeing is he talking there in the book of Acts in chapter 2, and Peter's preaching this, one of his best sermons. And they believed. Have made that same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Get this. Psalms 22, written by King David. He says, they pierced my hands and my feet. They part my garment. And then as a result of Christ dying on the cross and paying for our sins, he says, your heart shall live forever. That's eternal life. And then he talks about something in the future. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born. So the people that were not living then, but will be living afterwards, declare his righteousness, not the man's righteousness. So therefore, I submit, it's got to be the same gospel. And just because somebody wants to change and say all these different dispensations, they taught different. No, they did not. They didn't study their Bible enough. Let me give you this real quick because I can see that you are running out of time. The gospel preached by John the Baptist and Christ. He lived before the law, after the law, and forevermore. Jesus did. And his message has always been the same. But he says this in the book of Luke 24. And he said unto them, thus it is written, past, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead. He said, that's in the Old Testament. They said, well, they didn't know anything about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The Bible says they did. And so he then says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Do you think it stopped? You see, a hyper-dispensational believe the church started in the day of Pentecost. I mean, it started in Acts chapter 9. They said, Matthew 28 is no good. You know, the Great Commission. But what does he say? He just told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel among all nations. When was that rescinded? Find the chapter and the verse where that command was rescinded. You can't find it. You know why? It's not there. It means it's still what we're supposed to be doing today, and this has to be the same message. And so John 1, talking about John the Baptist, says he's going to come on the scene, and he was going to preach, and he was going to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. John, the apostle, said about John the Baptist that his message was to get all men to believe on Christ. No different message. Well, he preached a baptism of repentance. Yeah, if you believe that he's coming, and that he's going to die on the cross and pay for your sins, come back from the dead, you're baptized in water. Baptism of water is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. Don't we tell people when we baptize people that it's like Christ on the cross? You go under the waters, picture of your burial. Coming out of the waters, a picture of your resurrection. John the Baptist preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Because he started off baptizing, and so his message, you think he would baptize, and he wouldn't explain to anybody what it meant. You study it, it tells you what it meant. And he told the people to believe on the one that will come in after him. He didn't tell them to believe on him. And so he says in John chapter 1, verse, as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them gave he the power, the authority to become the children of God, the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And how many people have used these verses to win people to Christ? I have. And doesn't it say in John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up? What do you think that means? Well, it doesn't talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ in the book of John. Duh, what does that mean? He is going to be lifted up. In John chapter 12, he talks about it. And I will draw all men unto me. That's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So when John saw him, he says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so Moses, he knew about Christ because he said, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He had respect on the recompense of the reward. In other words, he knew about the Messiah. He knew who he was and where he was and all the treasures of Egypt. And he gave all that up in order to be what God wanted him to be. Because he had more respect for the rewards God was going to give him than all the treasures of Egypt. But the Bible says that he knew about the Messiah. Didn't God use him to talk about the Passover? You ever heard of the Passover? What was the Passover about? When I see the blood, I will what? Passover. So they plied the blood of an innocent lamb on the doorpost and on the lintel so that the people on the inside would be safe. That was a picture of something. I wonder what it was a picture of. And they did that all the way through. Jesus Christ dying, coming back from the dead. And he uses these two illustrations. There's two birds alive. They took one bird and they killed the bird, take the blood, sprinkle it on the other bird, and let that bird fly away. You say, what was that picture? Death, burial, and resurrection. This one died. This one flying away. So we get our new birth because of the death of the first one. See, whenever you trust Christ your Savior, that was your death. When you understand you died, Christ came back from the dead, your new birth. So you can't get the new one until the death of the first one. I was born into this world, flesh birth. Christ died for this man. He didn't die for this one. This one doesn't sin. He died for the old man. Paid for all of his sins, came back from the dead. And he says he was in my place. So when I believe he did it for me, that was like me on the cross. And I died on that cross and I paid for my sins. And I was buried, but I rose again. And this one doesn't have a sinful nature. If it doesn't have a sinful nature, can't sin. If it can't sin, can't die. If it can't die, it lives forever. So that's the death, burial, resurrection. He even used the two goats in the Old Testament. The two goats was for the purpose of teaching there was a scapegoat. There's one goat that got away, but the other goat died. That's how they taught the death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah in the Old Testament. They did it all the time. You say, well, they didn't understand anything about that. Duh. What do you think it means? That it's there. It's just, nobody wants to talk about it. But it's the greatest thing in all the world to understand that today, when we're baptized in water, we are alive, dead, alive again. When it says Christ was raised again, that doesn't mean he was raised twice. He was alive, he was buried, and alive again. I was alive, I was buried, and I'm alive again. Now for the rest of my life, I'm supposed to live my life as though this old man has died and is buried, and I am now a new creature in Christ. Now, I know that I never really died, but I'm supposed to live like it all happened because in God's eyes, that's how God sees it. And because when I was on the cross, I was crucified with Christ, and I was buried with him, and I was raised with him. I ascended with him, and I'm seated in the heavenlies in Christ. because all that he did was put to my account. And he says, go into all the world. And as he talked to those on the road to Emmaus, he says, oh, fool, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. That means it must have been in the Old Testament. He says he opened up the scripture that he taught to them about what the scripture says about himself. He taught them. He says in beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the thing concerning. I wonder how much is hidden in those scriptures that we've never seen, because we don't look at the Old Testament looking for the person of Christ and the types that refers to him. So that whenever he shows up, they should have been looking for him. That's why he told them in John chapter 3, Jesus talking to Nicodemus, he says, you're a ruler in Israel and you don't know these things. In other words, you should have known this. You're supposed to be teaching this. He didn't understand the new birth. Why not? Anyway, I am running out of time, but I want to show you this. The scriptures. He says, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. And he wasn't talking about the New Testament. He's talking about the Old Testament. He says, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, because Moses, he wrote about me. He says, if you believed it, but you don't believe it. John the Baptist, he preached. He says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And then in that same chapter 3, while he was baptizing, do you think John the Baptist baptized without telling people what it meant? This is John chapter 3, right after John 3:16, same chapter. They say you don't have the death, burial, and resurrection. Well, wait a minute. Baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. What do you think it means then? If it doesn't mean that, what does it mean? Duh, I'm waiting. They don't have an answer. And note what John said. John the Baptist said in John 6:36, he said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. John the Baptist says that, and that's the same verse that you find in John 3:16. Jesus, John the Baptist, preached the same message. Whenever Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, you remember when he said, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, he would have given thee living water. And she says, give me this water that I didn't come looking for. He says, you drink the water in this well, you're going to have your thirst again. But I got water that once you drink this water, you never thirst again. Jesus taught eternal security. He said, if you eat this bread, you're alive. But you eat this bread that came down from heaven, one bite will do you good. You'll never hunger again. In other words, once you get saved, you can never get saved again. Jesus taught eternal security. And that's when in chapter 6, the multitudes left him. Why? He was teaching once saved, always saved. He was teaching eternal security. When I preach around the country, and I preach a lot of places, I teach eternal security. Because that's the gospel. That's what causes problems. All this other talk is just nice Christian lingo and doesn't mean anything and does nothing. But when you say you believe in eternal security, or once you're saved, you're always saved, or once you trust Christ as your Savior, it doesn't matter how you live, you're still going to heaven when you die. Now you've ruffled some feathers. I cause a revival or revolt wherever I go. I love it. But I got to do what I'm doing while I'm still young. If I wait till I get old, I won't be able to do it. And God has been so good to me. And my time is up. Nobody told me to stop. Y'all were supposed to tell me to stop. But, all right, let me ask you this. Salvation is free. If you believe you can lose it, you don't get it. If you believe you can lose it, you don't have it. If you believe you can lose it, you already have it.